Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I am Phil Taylor, your host. Today we're going to be speaking to Robin Philpott, author and publisher of Baraka Books. And later in the show, we will be talking to Eve Engler. Eve is on to a really important topic, why the political parties of Canada embrace NATO and compete with each other in that department. But for the moment, we have Robin Philpott with us. Robin, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Phil.
We have lost a really good friend and outstanding Canadian journalist, an award-winning journalist, Mick Lowe. He died on the 17th of this month, April. He had been for a number of years in a rather poor condition, I believe, and of course you would know, you're his publisher. You had published at Baraka Books, A Memory of Mick. Mick Lowe, writer, reporter, muckraker, and all-round great guy, passes away. You published three novels. It's called the Nickel Range Trilogy. When did you become involved with Mick Lowe's writing and made the decision to publish this really important series of books?
Well, I knew about Mick Lowe from way back in the 80s. He was a labor reporter on the, what they used to call the labor beat, which doesn't exist anymore. And I have to give you credit. You knew about what we were doing at Baraka Books, and you talked to Mick and said, Mick, you got to get it published. So Mick got in touch with me. That's how it happened. So as a result of your chatting with him, this was around 2013, 2014. And I read it within about 2 or 3 hours. I read his manuscript, and I immediately said, this is the kind of thing I'd like to publish. So that was the first volume. It's called The Raids. And I could say we've had a good relationship. We had a very good relationship, publishing and there's a relationship between a publisher and author. There's always kind of a special relationship, you know, because he bears himself and he gives us confidence. He shows us confidence in entrusting his manuscript to us. So I felt really privileged to do it, and to go up there to Sudbury three times to launch the three books, which was a privilege to see how much was liked. We launched them at the Steelworkers Hall in Sudbury with a large number of trade union members. Dave Patterson was there for the first. And so it was a very good experience. His book, it's a story that was waiting to be told, as they say.
I should say that Dave Patterson is part of the Sudbury legend. He was the young rank and file leader who led them in the steelworkers local there in a great strike, and later became the district director of steelworkers. And and there he was. He and Mick Lowe were coincidentally, you know, in Sudbury, same time and place. It was fortunate for all the rest of us that Mick, the great reporter, would be watching closely and understand intimately all the issues. Really remarkable.
Yeah. And he had this debilitating stroke in 2008. And people thought that Mick was going to put down his pen or his computer. And it was the opposite. He actually, and you might say that there was a certain blessing to it, because what Mick did is he took a story that he'd been researching, and there was being prepared to be like a historical narrative, like a nonfiction book on the raids, and several other events. The raids took place. It's a real historical event, a major event in the history of the Canadian working class and Canadian politics, you might say. And because he was limited in his ability to move, he had to go to fiction. And sometimes historical fiction can bring the event to life better than a long narrative. And I think that Mick really succeeded with that. He made fictionalized characters talking about a real event, a big event, which was the raids when the steelworkers wanted to take over from the mine, mill, and smelters workers, which is one of the most militant unions in Canada and in the United States. And they were there were a lot of communists involved in it, and they were not going to play along with the Cold War politics that the US and Canada were into. And that's where this conflict came to a head on this question. The Cold War is, as you might say, it's the backdrop to this major political event. And he manages to bring in real characters, real life characters, who are based on people who did exist at the time. And led that fight.
I like that point. We're speaking to Robin Philpott. You say here the Raids, Volume One of the trilogy, is a fictional account of true life battle that took place in the early '60s. Vicious beatings, riots, and covert operations, and it is just one of our little home truths that in order to tell the truth, you have to write fiction.
Right.
Because if you tell the truth, you're probably going to have to go to court or get shot, or life is dangerous.
Well, but, and also people can read this story, whereas if it became a dry nonfiction, they might just say, oh, start reading it and just not, researchers would look at it. But the average people are more interested in reading a novel.
Well, also it gives somebody a chance, and Mick Lowe would be the ideal person, being an on-scene observer, that he could exercise his journalistic skills and his intuition about why something had happened.
Yeah.
And he could put it into, as he did, into fictional form. Mm-hmm. After all, the raids, that is a word that resonates in the Canadian labor movement, but in it, and the point of explosion was Sudbury, where you had the battle, and all political parties and the police got involved in breaking a union, the mine, mill, smelter workers.
Yeah.
And right or wrong, there is like an earthquake, and it continues to shake through that community today.
Yeah, we launched the second book, The Insatiable Maw, there was a man, an older man, he was 88 or something at the time, and he came to the launch, and he was a policeman during the raids, the real raids, the story. And he brought us, we were launching the first book, he brought us the newspaper clippings from the 1960s of the real thing. And in it, we reproduced them in the second book, which is The Insatiable Maw. But in it, you can see ads that were taken out by the Sudbury Star, talking about the communist conspiracy, and talked about the US government investigating, the RCMP investigating, the CIO as well. And so, he didn't imagine this story. This story was very real. He just brought it to life with these characters,
Yes. By the way, we should also mention the Catholic Church.
Right.
Was deeply, Mick talked about, that's part of the books. Incidentally, I'll just remind listeners, we're talking about journalist and author Mick Lowe, who died on April 17th. He was 73 years old, born in Omaha, a draft dodger, as they like to say. And he wrote the Nickel Range trilogy in the last decade of his life, I guess we could say. And if you want to see some of this, you could, there's a great movie called Salt of the Earth, because that wasn't just Sudbury, but it was across North America, and Silver City, New Mexico was one of the places where Mine Mill was having to fight for its life and the ability to represent workers, and it was being attacked, as Mick would tell you, by the RCMP, the FBI, CIA. And a film was made about it called Salt of the Earth, just to capture sort of the period and also the bigger issues. Yeah. Actually, one of the great remarks in the movie is the union leader explaining to one of the strikers, he says, you have to understand the big picture. And Mick helps us with the big picture.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Anyway, it was quite exciting to meet this old constable who was on the wrong side at the time, but then he came to the book launch and was so proud to show these clippings from 62, where he was the constable in there telling people what to do. But it was, you know, it strikes a chord in the people among the people in Sudbury and elsewhere. By the way, Thompson, Manitoba, Port Colborne, Trail were also in a similar situation, Trail, BC. Mm. And when we launched it, we got support from those union leaders for the book. Mm-hmm. So they were interested as well.
Yeah. We're speaking to Robin Philpott, publisher of Baraka Books, also an author. And Mick, we should remind everybody here, he had written an award-winning book about a criminal incident in, was it Peterborough? And what was it? Some sort of a shoot 'em up, ended up in a shooting.
Yeah.
And it also, he wrote a book about Claire Culhane.
Right.
Who's a great figure, by the way. It should be a movie about her life. And it was called A One Woman Army.
Yeah.
And I believe she was a prison reform person, wanted to basically eliminate prisons if possible. And Mick was did a really important job writing that book,
right,
about her and her life. She opposed the Vietnam War, of course, and Mick opposed it in his own personal way.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
He was a live item. I don't know, Robin, if you saw the Globe and Mail obituary, but I would urge everybody actually to read it. It's written in a spirit that he would love, because it says many journalists have offered up stories of Lowe, taking them I got to get the line proper. Stories of Lowe taking them under his wing, and by the way, one of those would be Art Moses. And as many friends have referred to him as a rabble rouser and pain in the ass.
those are nice compliments, you know.
Mick would take that as a definite compliment because, yeah. You know, and of course, Mick and I were good friends. I loved it. You couldn't be within 30 feet of him without him saying, Brother Taylor.
Yeah.
And you could say, well, Brother Lowe. However, actually, the expression was brother. He was Mick to me, Brother Mick. But that didn't mean we weren't going to be crosswise with each other about 40% of the time, which was fun.
Yeah.
He wasn't interested in, you know, just, you know, a bunch of handshakes and pats on the back. It was always something on the table and you had to argue about it.
Right, exactly. No, it's true. It's true.
And that is how you generate good writing. Yeah. And an important, it's the only way to get to the bottom of anything is you have to have a struggle about it.
Right, exactly. And the second one, the two other books are, they follow the same characters. The second volume It's called The Insatiable Moi. And it was a story, it takes place in above ground in the Copper Cliff Smelter. And there's some big, big scenes in there that are so well described of industrial accident and high levels of carbon monoxide. And the story actually shows how Sudbury went from becoming a place of lunar landscape to become green again. And it was the unions and the workers fighting for protection of their own health and the health of their own community, which led to that change in Sudbury. Because Sudbury, as you remember, and listeners who've been there in the 60s and into the 80s, you're on the moon, you know, all the vegetation was dead. And the workers worked in those situations. And there was this big fight in 73. And so he goes through that once again with his characters and shows how the lobbyists operate in Queen's Park to protect Inco, to protect Falcon Bridge, to protect the companies and not the people, not the workers or the community of Sudbury. It's a smart way of dealing with that question. Ecology is in everybody's lips, but if you're not, but this is a case where the people took up the question of public health in the environment and the environment. So that's the second one. And the third, you know a lot about, of course, you know a lot about the third book, which is called Winter Song. And it is the story of the major strike in 78, 79 in Sudbury, 11,700 hard rock miners. And he tells a story with characters who are inspired by the people who are still alive, which is always a bit of a difficult a challenge. And goes through that strike, and it's a very moving event. I mean, you know more about that event than I do, because I think you were involved. But Mick seems to have rendered it in a very successful way. You know, it's a winter song.
Yeah. By the way, yeah, there are scenes in those books, I could tell you, and in Winter Song, I particularly recall a couple of scenes of accidents. I don't know why I use the word accident, the workplace, where dangerous workplace and terrible things happened, and he describes them, and I know those are based on his own real observation and interviews with people who experienced them.
Yeah.
And this particularly pathetic scene, and I would say it's worth the book, is a description of an older worker who thought he would leave and, you know, maybe go somewhere and make a little money, and that didn't pan out, and he comes back, and his boy, it is tough, particularly in hard rock mining, to go back and think you're going to work in the same old conditions, and this guy is trying to do it. Mm-hmm. And there is a pathetic moment in that. It just absolutely, it's like Eugene O'Neill, except maybe a little better, because it is a real deal. Mm-hmm. Again, and I know that actually happened. I know the witness who saw it. Mm-hmm. I would urge people, you got to read that for the experience. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about Mick Lowe. I'm glad we're able to say Mick Lowe novelist. He was, of course, a journalist of great distinction. Mm-hmm. And Baraka must be proud of him. Some German publishing house contacted you, didn't they?
A left wing. Well, what happened is we put an ad in a magazine, Publishers Weekly, for the Frankfurt Book Fair. Just because we thought, well, this is a book, this could interest some people. And this left-wing publisher in Germany got in touch with us. And the book has came out just about a year ago now in German. A nice edition. And they they got a grant for translation, and it's come out in German, and they figured the story was that important to that they would translate it and put it out in German. So it was a very good, Mick was just thrilled, you know, just thrilled to see that it was being picked up, you know, by a German publisher. I also should say that all three books, the covers and inside, their illustrations by Oris Sawchuk. You know, the covers are hard rock mining scenes or labor scenes. And each book has got about 7 or 8 illustrations of events that took place. And very, very well, he in fact had them at the launch, and they were being, it was like at launch had a gallery called Gallery 6500. And they were exposing his drawings and paintings of hard rock mining. And he graciously allowed us to publish them in the book. So it's a kind of a collect, the book is kind of a collector's item. We're very happy to have done this with these illustrations. You know, not every book you get to make it as well. And it's something you want to have in your hands, you know.
Yeah. Again, it's Robin Philpott, Baraka Books. You can go to barakabooks.com, and there is a tribute there to Mick Lowe, who died on April the 17th. You know, Robin, as you as a publisher, I'm so glad to be talking to you about it, Mick, and the subject, because the fact is that some of the greatest fiction produced worldwide, but in North America, had to do with working class life. Theodore Dreiser, Jack London, Upton Sinclair, John Dispassus, but that ain't going on now.
No.
And we need desperately, because the fact is that there are more working people than ever.
Yeah.
And their experiences are somehow not, they're books about them, workers, and their awareness of themselves as workers, their efforts to organize, their successes and tragedies. This is a tradition that, frankly, I believe is almost suppressed. The publishers don't want to hear about it.
No.
So I'm glad that Baraka is taking it up. I wish others would. I think there ought to be a battle for working class literature.
Yeah. One of the signs is it was very hard to get these books reviewed. You know, the people, the magazines and the newspapers that normally review your stuff, they'd say, well, this is not what's fashionable these days. And we had a hard time getting reviews. We had to do it among people who we know follow this kind of thing, and they're fewer and, you know, far between who are interested. Unfortunately, because The Rage is one of our books of fiction that has done the best. So it shows that people are interested in it. You know, I think with publishers who have big means, they could do quite well if they decided they wanted to do it, but then it's going to rock the boat if they do it. So they don't want to do that, you know.
Well, a good starting place people want to think about, and I hope working people listening can think about poems, songs, plays, novels, and you want to know who should do it,
the answer is
you should.
Right.
And get together with others and produce accounts of their of the lives of workers, and of particularly of their resistance, their organization. Those are great stories.
Yeah.
That need to be told. I wonder, by the way, I hope Mick Lowe's papers are kind of put together. Mick was one of those, I'm sure he was banging away on some story all the time. I hope that his papers are well looked after.
Right, right.
Maybe somebody find another book or two among them.
Right. Oh, no. Everybody was so amazed that he could keep, despite, because it was a debilitating stroke, but he kept his his desire and drive kept him alive and doing this kind of writing, which was, we have to thank him for that, you know, for leaving us that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've been.
I might just add one thing.
Yes.
Bookstores are closed in Ontario, so you can order directly from Barrica Books because we have them on in stock. And you know, you can't order. You know, bookstores are closed right now, so don't hesitate to order directly.
Go directly to BaracaBooks.com to order the Nickel Range trilogy. Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love those. I like the raids. The Insatiable Maw and Winter Song.
Yeah.
Well, Robin Philpott, Baraka Books, it's great to be talking to you about Brother Mick.
Yeah. We will miss him. We miss him. We want his family and his.
He left us a great collection of writings, and he really his approach to life and work was something everybody should emulate. Thanks an awful lot, Robin.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
CIUT, the Taylor Report.